All right, I got a little excited yesterday, I guess, but I hope I made the case that God is not done with Israel, that the new covenant has to do with Israel becoming a priesthood nation and ruling the other nations. That's going to happen. But now I need to answer the question that I asked yesterday, but I left unanswered, and that is, what's an Israelite supposed to do today? Is an Israelite, this was the question that was asked me, is an Israelite, Martin, supposed to at least try to do law? Because we already determined that it's absolutely ridiculous for a non-Israelite to try to practice law, including the Ten Commandments. Absolutely ridiculous. No excuse for it. So I am going to go to the next level, which I do, but I don't just sit here and say, oh, I'm going to go to the next level. No, I just automatically go to the next level because I know the scriptures, and the scriptures go to the next level. Paul goes to the next level. So the next level is this. Not even an Israelite is supposed to be doing law today because they're waiting for the law to be transferred. They're waiting for a new covenant which will bring with it a transferred law and a transferred priesthood. This awaits the return of Jesus Christ, who, if you haven't noticed, hasn't returned yet. No, he didn't return yet. No preterists. He did not return in 70 AD. Because if that happened, then the millennial kingdom ended sometime around the year 1070 AD. And the tribulation happened after Titus sacked Jerusalem. Now, that might have been a tribulation for the people living in Jerusalem, although many of them got out of Dodge, because Jesus told them to get out of Dodge. But no, I don't remember a third of the earth being burned up, a third of the inhabitants of the earth being destroyed. No record of the locusts. No record of the 200 million supernatural cavalry out killing. No, don't remember that. Josephus would have written about the 90-pound hailstones and the waters, a third of the fresh water on the earth turning into blood, but that didn't happen. That's because it's all spiritual. I'm making fun of the preterists, of course. It's not all spiritual. It's literal. But anyway, so the kingdom didn't come. Now, Paul, I love the book of Hebrews. Paul wrote Hebrews in order to help these Jews understand if they were supposed to do law. Paul, are we still supposed to practice it? Are we still supposed to do the Ten Commandments? What's happened with us? What has happened to us? And is anything happening for us? By the way, if you don't know, I did an entire audio series on the book of Hebrew. Go to my website, martinzender.com, and then you go to the all-new Zender Sheridan shows, and most of them don't have Sheridan. It's mainly me, and most of it's audio. And you'll see a bunch of shows on Book of Hebrews. Also do a whole series on 2 Timothy. I don't know how many shows are on Hebrews. You know me, probably over 100, maybe 1,000. I don't know, but there's a lot. Love the Book of Hebrews because it's practical. It answers a problem. So Paul says in Hebrews 7:11, if indeed perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for the people have been placed under law with it, that's an important statement. I'm in Hebrews chapter 7. Guess who Hebrews is written to? That's like, who's buried in Grant's tomb? This is that kind of a question. All right. If indeed then perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for the people have been placed under law with it. So there was a law that went with the Levitical priesthood. What need is there still for a different priest to arise? To arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not said to be according to the order of Aaron. I'll explain this, but let me just read on. For the priesthood being transferred, of necessity, there is coming to be a transference of law also. This is huge. Who knows about this? There are not many people know about this. I'm so excited about this. There's a transference of law. The law is transferred along with the priesthood. I love it when that happens. For the priesthood being transferred of necessity, there's coming to be a transference of law. Why is there a necessity? Back to verse 11. For the people have been placed under law with it. Under law with what? The Levitical priesthood. Now, why does the priesthood need to be transferred? Why does there need to be a new priesthood? Because the old priests sucked. They kept dying. And they kept having to renew their sacrifices over and over again. And this is not to be tolerated. God's not going to tolerate this anymore for Israel. He's going to raise up a new priest. And guess who it is? It's Jesus Christ. There's a problem with that, though. What's the problem? Jesus Christ is not a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. Uh-oh, that's a huge problem. This necessitates, God's going to take care of that problem. He's not going to turn Jesus into a Levite. He's not going to miraculously change his tribe. No, instead, he's going to change the priesthood. I love this solution. It's so great. It's so in your face. It's so practical. We got a problem here. Yes, God's at headquarters. And there's a report. We understand you're making Jesus Christ a new priest of a new priesthood and a new law to go with it. Yeah, it says the law is being transferred too. It's not a new law. It's a transference of law. The law is not new. It's being taken out of a dead body. Let's say this. It's being taken out of a dead body. Like a kidney of someone who dies, or a heart. It's being taken out of that dead body and put in another body that's going to utilize it. That's the essence of the word transference here. Transferred. Love that word in 12. Hebrews 7:12. Man. All right, so God, we have a problem. What's the problem? Well, we're hearing word that Jesus Christ, the Son, your Son, is going to be the chief priest when you put a new heart into Israel and you bring Israel into the kingdom. Yes. Well, the problem is that he's a Judahite. He's from the house of Judah, from the tribe of Judah. Not a problem. God says, going to transfer the whole priesthood. Going to make a new order of priesthood, not the Levitical order. You realize what a shock this is? It was always the Levites, the tribe of Levi. They were the only ones who handled the priesthood duties. The rest of the tribes had to give a tenth, a tithe of all their stuff, their corn, their food and everything, and to sustain this tribe, because all they cared about was the temple and the ritual of the temple. All right, the divine ritual. Now, what need is there still for a different priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek? I love this guy too, this Melchizedek. I've taught on him before. Don't know how much I want to get into him here, if it's really necessary. Just know that he was, chapter 7, verse 1, he was a king of Salem. Salem was Jerusalem before it was Jerusalem. He was a priest of God. Before there was even such thing as Israel. Yeah. Abraham tithed this guy while Levi was still in his loins. Are you getting me? Are you following my drift with this loin business? Yeah. At this time, Abraham hadn't even had Isaac yet, I don't believe. So this Melchizedek, this mysterious character, he's a big shot. And he's already a priest. He's already functioning as some kind of go-between between God and humanity before there's even such a thing as Israel. This is so great. King of Salem. Priest of God. Who ever heard of a priest before Levi? This guy. I don't know what kind of priest he was. But I got respect for this guy. I fear this guy. Honestly. Anyway, he meets Abraham returning from the combat with the kings. Abraham had a combat with the kings, and he blesses Abraham, to whom Abraham parts a tithe. Are you freaking kidding me? Abraham tithes, gives a tenth of the spoils he got from the battle with the kings to this Melchizedek character. This guy must have been a big shot. Oh, don't tell me about it. Yeah. Melchizedek was a big shot. Being first indeed translated, he's the king of righteousness. King of righteousness. That was this guy. Thereupon, king of Salem. He was a king of a bunch of stuff. He had titles coming out the butts of his camels here. But king of peace, king of righteousness, king of Salem. He was fatherless, motherless, without a genealogy. Now, some people think, I'm getting off the top. I'm getting excited about this Melchizedek dude, but I'll get back to why Israelites cannot obey the Ten Commandments today. Shouldn't even try. They're as out of it as we are. They're as out of it as we are because the whole law is dead now because the Levitical priesthood has passed away. See, I'm on the topic. I'm on topic. The Levitical priesthood has passed away. It passed away, the old order. And now they're waiting. Hebrews is all about waiting. This book of Hebrews right here, it's all about waiting for the new priesthood that's on a new order, the order of Melchizedek. And the reason God established something with this guy before Abraham even had Isaac and before Isaac had Jacob and before Jacob had Levi was so that Paul could solve this problem, because Paul could say, well, there's a new order of priesthood coming. It's no wonder he didn't put his name on this book of Hebrews. Do you know how that would have upset? That's not even a strong enough word. It would have infuriated and incinerated the brains of Israel to even hint that the Levitical priesthood would be out the door. Nope, that's old. I can't even think of an example of in modern day of how shocking that would be. Maybe one political party being replaced by another political party or something like that. How about Donald Trump being president? There you go. There's an analogy. We're going to put this Melchizedek guy, this new priesthood, we're going to wing it here. But we're going to go back to an old order before there was even a Levi. Are you kidding me? No, not kidding. And they're waiting for it. It's still future. And anybody that tells you it's now going on, or that people are supposed to do it now, or that it happened in the past, you're kidding me, right? Seriously. It happened in the past? When? When did Jesus Christ come back as a priest? This is prophecy. Paul is not only an apostle, he's a prophet. And he has the inside scoop on this Melchizedek guy. And Melchizedek is a gift to Paul so that Paul can now resort to something that happened in the past and say, I'm not too crazy. Remember Melchizedek? Oh, yeah, we do remember. Abraham said something about him. Yeah, yeah, do you remember Abraham tithed Melchizedek? Yeah, we've heard stories. Yeah, our forefather tithed this guy. Must have been great. Yes, he was a priest of the Most High God. It's not that he literally didn't have a father or didn't have a mother. He was just without genealogy, which was also wildly radical, because if you were going to be a priest in Israel, you had to have your genealogy down pat. I mean, you had to spool it off. Oh, my father's here, blah, blah, blah. You had to have your whole pedigree framed above your mantle, linking you to Levi. This guy's no genealogy. What? No pedigree, no education, no diploma, no family tree to Levi. We can't have this guy. Oh, no, but God is having this guy. This guy's of the new order, having neither a beginning of days nor consummation of life, yet picturing, I swear, I'm quoting scripture, swear to God, Hebrews 7:3. This guy picturing the Son of God. And he's remaining a priest into a finality. Remaining a priest into a finality. No more death. No more courses of priests. You had to go through the course. And this guy serves. And this guy serves. And this guy serves. That guy dies. This guy dies. Very rude of the priests to keep dying. All right? No, but this one remains to a finality. That's why there's nothing mentioned about Melchizedek's father or mother or his genealogy. And it's why it says something crazy like neither a beginning of days nor consummation of life. Now behold how eminent this one is. Paul can't stop talking about this guy. Behold how eminent this one is. Got that word eminent. You don't see that too often in the scriptures. I'll tell you this. To whom the patriarch Abraham gives a tithe of the best of the booty. The best of the booty. I am quoting scripture. I'm quoting the Concordant Literal New Testament, one of the most, if not the most, accurate translation on the face of the planet. And I give you this again. Now behold, speaking of Melchizedek, how eminent this one is. To whom the patriarch Abraham gives a tithe also of the best of the booty. Abraham got booty. He got him some booty when he was coming back from the war with the kings, combat with the kings. This is like a video game. Abraham returning from the combat with the kings, and he gave Melchizedek the best of the booty. Reading from the Bible, folks. What's better than this? I'd like to make a movie about this. I should write a novel about this, seriously. And indeed, okay, it goes on about him. But Melchizedek's great. So that gives you a little history of him. Now, to go on, there's going to be transference of law. Now, back to verse 12 in Hebrews 7. For the priesthood being transferred, of necessity there is coming to be a transference of law also, which, stay with the topic with me, because I'm still on it, which is why Jews today themselves can't even do law, because the law is going to be transferred. Right now it's still in between. Witness, no temple. They're still in between. They're still being transferred. This whole book of Hebrews is about patience. It's about waiting. It's about setting forth heroes of faith who died having not received the promise. Every one of these Hebrews to whom Paul was writing died having not received the promises. They're waiting for the return of their chief priest, who will be of a new order of Melchizedek, because he's not a Levi, he's from Judah. So we're changing the rules to accommodate him, so he can not die, so he can not have to repeat things once to a finality. And that was pictured by Melchizedek, the eminent one to whom Abraham gave the best of the booty. Don't forget any of this. For it is taken for granted. Did I finish that thought? Transference of law. Oh yeah. For he of whom these things are said partakes of a different tribe. A different tribe. Jesus Christ is of a different tribe, from which not one has given heed to the altar. No one from Judah has ever given heed to the altar. They give heed to other stuff, but not the altar. For it is taken for granted that our Lord is arisen out of Judah. To which tribe Moses speaks nothing concerning priests.
Moses, I notice you haven't said anything at all lately about Judah concerning the priests.
Moses would say, that's because no one from Judah ever becomes a priest.
Of course I didn't.
Moses says nothing concerning priests when he's talking about Judah. And it is still more superabundantly sure, if a different priest is rising according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has not come to be according to the law of a fleshly precept, but according to the power of an indissoluble life. Oh my gosh. Melchizedek, who has not come to be according to a law of a fleshly precept. That's the Ten Commandments right now. It's a fleshly precept. It's still perfect. It's still good. But the priests themselves that manage this thing, that did the divine service, they themselves were fleshly. They themselves were infected with the mortality we've been talking about. They didn't remain to a finality. They did have their little family tree charts above the mantle. And it was imperfect. It was the Levitical priesthood. It's old, it's imperfect. That was a fleshly precept. Everyone associated with Levi, sorry Levi, I'm sorry if anybody out there is a Levite, I'm sorry, but your priesthood days are over. They've been over. You're a has-been tribe. I'm sorry. You're still going to be part of Israel, but no more temple service for you. There's a new order of priests, and it's Melchizedek order. All right? If anybody out there is related to Melchizedek, this is your day. You still have to wait, though. Okay? It still hasn't happened yet. It is still more abundantly sure, if a different priest is rising according to the likeness of Melchizedek, and he is, who has not come to be according to the law of a fleshly precept, but according to the power of an indissoluble life. For he is attesting that thou art a priest for the eon according to the order of Melchizedek. Thou art a priest for the eon. What eon? The kingdom eon. According to what order? Levi? No. No. Melchizedek. Verse 18, for indeed there is coming to be. This is future. Paul wrote this after Jesus came, after Jesus rose from the dead, after his evangel even started. Now he's writing this to his brethren according to flesh, but he doesn't put his name on it because it would kill it. We're not reading anything from that guy. And yet there's no more genius, intelligent human being on the circumcision evangel on the planet than this guy. Only guy that can write this. Nobody else could write this. Don't give me any Apollos wrote it or Luke wrote it. No, there's only one guy that can write this, and his language is just all over this. Anybody who reads this and then reads Romans sees the same wording, the same phraseology, everything. For indeed, there is coming to be a repudiation of the preceding precept because it is weak and without benefit. OMG, without benefit? The law is now without benefit because it is being attempted, even today, by people who are fleshly, who are in flesh, and they don't even have the Levitical priesthood, let alone the Melchizedek priesthood. They don't have any priesthood. They're winging it. Israel, people, you're not supposed to wing it. The new birth is a corporate birth. It's a national birth. It's not a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there. No, the new birth is for the whole nation. And we talked about that yesterday. Go back, Romans 11:25. Thus, all Israel shall be saved. The nation, God will be blessed. The nation. There's a new covenant coming for the nation. For the law perfects nothing. Is this a misprint? Is this not in anybody else's Bible? The law perfects nothing? Yet it is the superinduction. The superinduction. Another great word. Oh, wow. On into leading. That's three part Greek word. Superinduction. On into leading. Of what? Of a better expectation. A better what? Expectation. Expectation is something you're looking forward to, through which we are drawing near to God. Through what? Through the expectation. This whole book is about expectation of waiting, of looking ahead, a better expectation. Better than what? Better than what? Better than people floundering around trying to do the law under the Levitical priesthood, which was a fleshly precept administered by fleshly guys who kept dying, couldn't bring anything to a finality, and it all went to smash back in 70 AD. It hasn't been back yet. This book was written as an instruction manual to people this happened to. And apparently a lot of people today still haven't gotten the memo.